clearly take decades to implement. Long-term recommendation is looking at, over time, a 600,000-acre-foot water budget change that includes a robust mix of conversions, groundwater to surface water conversions, aquifer recharge, and demand reduction strategies. An implementation time frame over a number of decades, over two decades, 20 years, and a cost of $600 million or more, not including operations and maintenance. One of the questions that this work has begged is, what is it when we're talking about a water budget? And basically, a water budget is a method for accounting the inflow and the outflow of the system. In this case, what we're talking about is the ESPA. It's expected that implementation will result, depending upon climate, in a number of positive changes. One is improved aquifer levels, increased river reach gains, increased certainty in water supply for all users, the ability for municipal and industrial growth, a decreased demand for litigation and administrative remedies, as well as potential fish and wildlife opportunities, as well as impacts. As you would expect, the idea here is that a long-term, over 20-year implementation of such a series of packages would have effects similar to this that we had outlined in terms of the objectives and the goals. So these really correspond to that. We move then from the long-term 20-year goal to, how do we start in an incremental way? How do we start to begin down a path toward aquifer management, recognizing that it's going to take at least 20 years to get to a longer-term vision? We call that a phase one series of actions. That's basically actions from whenever we initiate year one through year 10. We looked at and developed a hydrologic target of between 200 and 300,000 acre foot. The intent of these actions is to begin actions that increase aquifer levels, spring and river levels, to be geographically distributed across the ESPA, and also then importantly, which is, given the situation that that we've been in terms of the Eastern Snake Plain Aquifer, is to begin a process to develop institutional confidence in both the measures and also in terms of the stakeholders, in terms of that we can move together, that the state of Idaho, the ESPA, can work in concert to take concrete steps in order to demonstrate that we're moving in the right direction, or going down the right road. So the recommendations for phase one include, not surprisingly, you've seen this in the management alternatives, groundwater to surface water conversions, managed aquifer recharge, demand reduction strategies, including buyouts, buy downs, and subordination agreements, rotating fallowing, dry year lease agreements, and also the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, PREP, crop mix modification, surface water conservation, as well as pilot weather modification. In the document itself, it goes into more detail about those recommendations. At this point, what I wanted to do is turn it over to Brian Patton to talk about the hydrologic analysis that was conducted on these phase one actions. Brian.
Thanks, Jonathan. I just want to hit some of the high points about the hydrologic analysis and the predicted effects of the ESPA camp plan. Those of you who were on the advisory committee sat through numerous different modeling scenarios, so I won't bore you with the details beyond that. But basically, a series of hydrologic analysis was conducted. We did that in cooperation with some of the stakeholders on the committee, primarily the Idaho Power Company. Basically, we used the actual hydrologic data from 1980 through 2005, used that as hydrologic inputs to determine if we had the phase one camp actions in place through that period of time, what could we have done through these actions? What could we have achieved in terms of acre feet per year? Basically, it's shown there on the chart, we could have achieved about 91,000 acre feet annually of recharge from the Snake River. We could have achieved about 22,500 acre feet annually of recharge from the Wood River, about 85,000 acre feet annually of groundwater to surface water conversions, about 32,000 acre feet annually of surface water use efficiency improvements in areas where that would not impact incidental leakage back to the aquifer. The weather modification and demand reduction numbers stayed constant through this analysis. Those were determined through through other studies that we had ongoing. This is an example of some of the output from our analysis. The chart on the left shows the average or the simulated increase in reach gains or spring flows from the aquifer back to the river. The chart on the left shows the Blackfoot to Neely reach, which is essentially the American Falls Reservoir area. As you can see, at about year five, we would have increased the reach gain by about 60 cubic feet per second, more or less. The chart on the right shows the Buell to Thousand Springs reach, which is a subreach of the Thousand Springs area. Again, at about year five, we would have increased the spring reach, the discharge there, by about 10 CFS. These charts show us estimated increases in groundwater levels as a result of implementing the camp actions. The chart on the left shows Minidoka County. At about year five, we would have increased the groundwater levels by about 2 feet, and then that continues, actually showing a pretty good increase in groundwater levels. Chart on the right shows an area near American Falls Reservoir, actually just upstream in Bingham County. At about year five, you'd see an increase of about 1 foot, give or take. Also, I would like to point out that on the walls, we have maps showing both the reach gains and groundwater level increases for a number of selected locations around the aquifer, all the way from Ashton to Swiss, effectively. If you have any questions regarding those charts and maps, please either catch me or Hal Anderson after the meeting, and we'll be happy to talk with you further. John?
Thanks, Brian.
So in addition to the hydrologic analysis, these are some more expected results, and again, dependent upon climate. Very similar to what we looked at in terms of the 600,000 acre foot change, improved aquifer levels, river reach gains, increased supply certainty for users, municipal and industrial growth, demand for litigation and administrative remedies, as well as ongoing public process for the camp implementation. This phase one implementation is not expected to solve all the problems. It's a place to start, and a place to start down the road of aquifer management. And so I think while these results are expected through implementation, it took quite a while to start this process. It's going to take a while to work through it. And what the idea behind the phase one actions were, this is the place to start down the road to build the kind of institutional confidence, to start demonstrating benefits on the ground, and to move forward with the continued process. Some of the additional recommendations include a implementation committee, which is a refocused and a restructured advisory committee that would take the resources that are allocated, the plan that has been developed, and help to move toward implementation of that. Looking, continue to integrate environmental and other considerations. Developing a clearinghouse, which is a way of bringing together a flexible mechanism that connects willing participants in the implementation of those ESPA projects. Outreach and education. One of the benefits or one of the thoughts around the working with an advisory committee and having 18 months to work through that was the degree of outreach and education that those committee members were able to develop and to explore. The committee felt that it's really important to broaden that that outreach opportunities and to fund that. Obviously, having public meetings such as this is one opportunity to do so. Management flexibility and innovation, explore innovative approaches that can improve water supplies for the implementation of those camp measures. Looking at a downstream transfer policy, which is encouraging water for recharge and conversion projects, through downstream transfers of surface water rights to the ESPA in a manner that enhances flows in flow-limited tributaries. So obviously, a plan such as this doesn't come for free. And one of the charges to the advisory committee was not only just to put together a plan, but to put together a plan that with funding principles and with a funding strategy. The principles that were important to the committee included that it be broad-based, be universal to all water users, to the extent possible provide equitable benefit, efficient revenue collection, as well as minimizing interest rate expense or expenses. The cost of phase one actions are between $70 and $100 million to implement that 200 to 300,000 acre foot of water annual water budget change in the first 10 years. The committee developed a strategy or some principles around that the water users contribute 60% and the state of Idaho 40%. The water user categories include the following: irrigated agriculture, both surface and groundwater within that, Idaho Power and various co-ops, the municipalities, the spring users, industrial and commercial users, the state of Idaho, federal, as well as recreation and conservation groups that would be included in the funding recommendations. Wanna again come back to this idea that this is broad-based, that the water users, that are all of the water users, contribute to helping to manage the resource as we move forward, and in fact that is the recommendation. So the water users component, first priority is on a pay-as-you-go strategy. I think we all know what pay-as-you-go means. The second strategy in terms of priority is the Idaho Water Resource Board contract. So that's using the existing board authority to issue revenue bonds. This approach is potentially taxable. The third, in terms of the priorities there, and in terms of funding, has to do with the Water Management Improvement District, which is assessing a fee to defray part or all of the costs of a specific improvement or service. And this would require additional legislative actions to grant the authority for that type of a district. So the state funding component, and the committee was very careful in terms of not prescribing to the state about how it should fund this, but identified two broad areas, which include the state water management project, which could include general fund appropriations from either kilowatt per hour power franchise fee, state sales or property tax, special product or service tax to pay for the state portion of the management plan. So there's that a range of different ways. And then to develop a statewide water fund funded through a state water management project to authorize and fund the projects such as which we've just spoken about. You'll remember in the goal that the goal for management was to adaptively manage the resource. And that adaptive management piece involves taking action. And what's being recommended are those phase one actions. Although the camp is based on a lot of technical analysis and a lot of science, there are things that we don't know about the effects of managing this resource. We need to test those assumptions, monitor those, and adapt and adjust the strategies as necessary. It's basically a way, adaptive management is not a strategy for doing nothing. It's a strategy for taking action in the face of a broad degree of uncertainty. So that is a component that's built into to the plan itself. So there are a number of ways for you to provide comment. You can sign up on the sheet and come up here in a minute and provide your comment. You can either send a written comment via mail, and we have comment forms over there, and you can send it to that address, and all this information is on our comment sheet, as well as to provide comment in an electronic format via email. We are closing the comment period by the 5th of January, so we need your comment. The board needs your comment in order to be able to incorporate those by the 5th of January. What we do have is we're recording this. This presentation will be recording your comment as well, and so this will be part of the formal public comment. So again, I want to emphasize that you need to sign up. And Jennifer, can I have that sign-in sheet? And
thank you.
And so we'd like you to come up to be concise. If you've prepared something to that you want to submit, I'm going to ask you to summarize that document and just come and speak and summarize that document. And that's where we are now. Which is, and we have a few questions. Basically, your input regarding the long-range hydrological that's been recommended and the strategies. Your comments on the proposed phase one hydrologic target and actions. So that's that 1 to 10 year action. So what do you think about that? And then your input regarding the funding and the collection mechanism outlined in the camp. And of course, you can talk about a number of other things, whatever is on your mind. I do hope that I'm going to encourage you to focus on the ESPA. So you can come and talk about other comments. I'm going to encourage you to do so on the ESPA. So so to begin, I'm going to ask Dale Swenson to come. You're first. You do not need to speak into this microphone. You can just come up here and stand and face the group. So Dale.
You're not going to take any questions, apparently.
So we're going to handle questions afterwards with Hal and Brian at those. So Dale, come on. I need to apologize to Dale. I was meant to speak at his meeting on last week, and I had airplane problems, and I missed the meeting. So I want to say I'm sorry, Dale.
Okay.
Anyone else want to sign up? Raise your hand. Go ahead.
We appreciate your willingness to come over to our country and make a presentation. He's going to speak at the Henry's Bluff Watershed Council when we consider the camp.
Sorry, I forgot to do this. So I need you to say your name and your organizational affiliation, and to the extent that you can, speak up so that the rest of the group can hear you.
Okay. I'm Dale Swenson. I'm the executive director of Fremont Madison Irrigation District in St. Anthony. We're kind of the headwaters of both the Snake River and the aquifer itself. So we have a vital interest in this plan, and we're very interested in its outcome. Our board of directors discussed the plan at length at our board meeting in November, and the board unanimously voted to support the camp phase one, and that's why I'm here tonight, is to express that support. Not only to the water board, but to the legislature. We believe that the 600,000 long-term goal is realistic with this phased-in approach, and using the adaptive management that's in the camp to make adjustments as we go along, that seems like a realistic way to move this project forward and see that the goals are met of increasing the amount of water in the aquifer. We believe that because of the camp, Fremont Madison, our surface water users, there's about 40 canals that are within our boundaries of Fremont Madison, and we use the surface water from the Henry's Fork and all of its many of its tributaries. And so our interest as an irrigation district is to make sure that we have that the reach gains are improved, and it appears to us from this plan that goal can be met of improving reach gains in the river. So that will be a benefit to our irrigation district and our water users if it does that. We also are groundwater users. Fremont Madison has 5 wells ourselves that we own and use to supplement our water supply in dry years, and many of our water users have groundwater wells. So we're interested in improving aquifer levels, and we, as Fremont Madison, we feel that this plan can do that. Over the years, we've been involved in some of these recommendations that are talked about in the plan. So it didn't take a lot of convincing for my board to be supportive of what's going on here, of what these recommendations are. We've always been supportive of recharge. The Egan Bench area is part of our irrigation district, and recharge out on Egan Bench has been studied and looked at. It was one of the first projects that the Idaho Water Resources Board looked at back in the 1970s. And Egan Bench canals did recharge, incidental and on purpose managed recharge over the years out there. We believe that recharge can fill the aquifer up to a higher level, and we're excited to be a part of the pilot recharge project that's going on out there right now. And that's a neat way to do some monitoring, find out what the effects of that recharge are out there, and see if it does in fact what we believe it does. Storage projects. Fremont Madison has always been interested in storage. We were sponsors of the original Teton Dam project. You don't want to say that too loud in some circles, but I think we're okay here. And we're still excited about the Teton Dam, and we're excited that the state is looking at doing a study to see if what we can do there, if anything. Also, weather modification. We think that that's a viable way of gaining new water into the system. And Fremont Madison is part of the a weather modification committee that is did quite a bit of weather modification last year during the winter, along with a lot of different wide variety of participants that helped fund that project. And we were encouraged that is part of the camp, and we're happy to see that move forward. We think that that's a viable way to get new water. So with that, I think that would conclude what I would want to say, and if we may submit some written comments as well.
Thanks, Tim. Stan. So just a reminder, introduce yourself and your affiliation.
I'm Stan Clark, and I'm not sure whether it's president or chairman of the Eastern Idaho Water Rights Coalition, which is a very broad-based group of towns, irrigators, or water districts, canal companies, businessmen, and we're monitoring and trying to be a positive influence on any kind of these. And I've attended almost all of these camp meetings. Sometimes it was a little bit like watching paint dry, and I was made that crack to my brother Ed, that sometimes it's like watching paint dry. And he says, yeah, but if you get the right colors, it does dry, and if it looks like you want it to, it's worthwhile. So this slowness sometimes is a good thing. There's a couple of things besides what, and we've been very, very active in this recharge project that's going on the Egan Bench as we speak, in cooperation with Water Resources and with Fremont Madison and a couple of canal companies. And at least we're proving that there are some sites that you can put a significant amount of water in, and now we hope the next couple of years to know where that water goes, and how it reacts. And looking at the charts that Jonathan put up, 6 inches may be a big difference in some places, so I don't know. But I want to commend the members of camp. I think it's been a very interesting aspect. The first phase of it, I hope that we don't decide to raise the $10 million a year until we get focused on what we want to do with that money. I'm a firm believer in pay as you go, but I'm also a believer in deciding what you want to do before you start to raise the money or to build the war chest, because people have a way of doing wants if the war chest is there. But I think that we're headed in the right direction. We're seeing some good things. From what we've found in the last year with what's happening to cities and to people who are, we're seeing a lot of our farmland go into development. There's water rights for those developments. We're faced with some interesting things, and this aquifer management plan is a key element in the economic viability of Eastern Idaho. Thank you.
I'm Don Parker with Water District 110. A couple of statements. Personally, and for our district, we believe Mother Nature has a lot more to do with anything that's happened or will happen than anything that we can do to make a difference. We need moisture from above in order to make this viable. We too support the camp process, but we need to recognize that any water which flows past the Milner Dam or through the springs is lost to the Eastern Snake Plain Aquifer. The only way that we can increase the water in the aquifer is to keep it here, closer to the head. And that can be done through recharge or storage. If there's a curtailment, several things I'd like to have put in. If there happens to be curtailment, there needs to be an avenue to eliminate the assessment so that you don't have curtailment as well as an assessment. I think there needs to be a sunset clause. If the actual measured water coming through the river reaches does not show the significant improvement that is there after the 10-year funding, then it needs to be strongly looked at and not continue until you see actual improvement. The state must contribute for everyone else to contribute. My greatest fear is that we create a whole new department of government, that as we create this new branch of government, I have never known government to be my greatest friend as far as spending money goes. And I think it is, make no mistake, it is a tax. And any time a tax is instituted, it has almost an impossible chance of being eliminated. I think we need to have several of those things be very cautious as we do this. I do support the camp, but at the same time, I want it done with some reservations. Thank you.
Stephen Johnson?
As I came to this meeting, I saw a sign on the front door that says camp meeting, and I thought this was a revival, but this apparently isn't the Pope. I would like to address a matter that concerns us. I'm with Progressive Irrigation District, east side of Idaho Falls. Our water comes from the South Fork, and due to the foresight of our pioneers, they built our canals and farmed the land over the aquifer that is very, very porous. So the result is that a big percent, I don't know the exact percent, but a lot of the water that we run down our canals doesn't reach us because it's going down. We think it goes into the aquifer. I don't know where else it would go. The other factor is that the water we do put on the land, a lot of it also infiltrates into the aquifer. I'll give you an example of our district is a 30,000 acre district. Typically, we input from 250,000 to 300,000 acre feet of water, natural flow and stored water, in a typical year. I believe that not more than 7 acre feet of those 10 acre feet actually reach the land. I think 30% of it has gone to the bottom of the canal before it comes to the user. You might could question that, but I believe it could be justifiably shown that that's the fact. And then the other part of it, we do get on the land, some more of that goes into the aquifer, and we presume it goes to the aquifer because I don't know where else it does go. So if my figures are correct, and I'm not swearing that they are, but our district is contributing somewhere between 40 and 90,000 acre feet of water to the aquifer each year. We didn't do it on purpose, and we can't stop it. But I do think that that's a situation that needs to be addressed. The things we've heard here tonight leads me to believe that we're going to throw two things at the aquifer. One of them's water and the other one's money. And I submit to you that water has a higher moisture content than money. And I do believe that those of us who are substantially contributing to the aquifer in the way I've just described shouldn't be first in line to help pay for this project.
Anyone else want to speak?
My name is Lynn Tominaga. I'm the executive director of the Idaho Groundwater Appropriators. We are an association of groundwater districts, irrigation districts, cities, and agribusinesses across southern Idaho. We represent over 1 million acres of groundwater pumped land on the Eastern Snake Plain. On the 25th of November, the Idaho Groundwater Appropriators came together and as a board of directors voted to support the camp and phase one. We have some concerns, and I'm not going to go into great detail, and we will provide public comment on some of those concerns, but we are in favor of proceeding ahead. We are in the mix of a lot of litigation right now, and the issue for us is that once you get done, you have an answer, but it doesn't necessarily stabilize the aquifer. And so we believe that this is an opportunity to start working on stabilizing the aquifer, whether it's drought or whether it's from we don't believe it's all caused by groundwater pumping. We believe that there's more issues such as people going from flood irrigation to sprinklers. We also believe that there are other factors involved. But we also know that the adaptive management, we would like to emphasize a lot of monitoring and measurement of what happens. Because if the 200,000 to 300,000 acre feet of of water that gets put back into the aquifer, stabilizes the aquifer, then we believe that, and with the weather's cloud seeding, weather modification program, if that's enough to stabilize and actually help improve the aquifer, then maybe that's all that needs to be done. But we won't know that for a while, and it's going to take a while to get these programs done. So we have a lot of, we have concerns, but we are supporting this because it's a program that gets us started to try and put water back into the aquifer. Because the litigation will not do that. Once we get done with all the litigation and everything else that's going on, you have an answer, but it doesn't necessarily change what's going on. So we are very much in favor of phase one, and we will support it, but we'll express our concerns in written comments.
Last person on my list is Steve Sear. Raise your hand if you want to speak. Steve.
It's been a long, fun 18 months. I'm Steve Sear. I work for Bonneville County. I'm in the planning department. I don't drink a lot of water, and I don't use a lot of water, but we're involved in a lot of development in the area. We have a lot of growth going in. We have a lot of diversity. We have agriculture. We have residential development. We have commercial development. And I think that's inherent throughout the ESP area. During the camp process, it became very obvious that everybody has their own ox. And everybody thinks that their ox is the one that's being gored and that they should be protected. Some of them, personally, I think I have a better view than others on what the problems are and what the solutions are. I have a concern in that some of the groups have taken a very, very me approach, and that it's not my fault and that everybody else should solve my problem. I put blame at the state level. I put blame at the individual level, at the user level. We've over-allocated our water, and everybody else wants their water first. And to solve that problem, everybody needs to participate. If you don't participate, I don't think you have as much right to voice the voice in answering what the solutions are in it. The money that you put into it is going to solve the problem. If we don't solve the problem, everybody's going to lose. I pick on the spring users, I pick on the pumpers. Everybody has some responsibility in it. I think there needs to be an evaluation to go back to see whether the over-allocation was there and what can be done to maybe correct those allocation rights. Simply because I was given the right doesn't mean I have a right to demand all the water. We talked during the camp about implementing specific plans. Implementing target approach for development. I think that that's something that through the implementation phase of this should be really, really looked at seriously as to the impact of what happens if you do a call, if you shut down the farming operations. Is it more appropriate to target other areas? They talked about buyouts. The state's already bought out one fish operation on spring flow user. Is that an effective way to better address the use, get the most use out of the water that's there? Be fair in the implementation. I'm not saying to go and take all the water rights from the fish farmers, maybe make it towards equitable to them, reimburse them for it. Look at innovative ways for doing buyouts, being creative. Necessarily to go out and dry up the farm, take the income out for the community, impacts the community, it impacts agribusiness. Try to come up with more creative implementation tools. A suggestion, buy out the farm, buy out the water rights on it, but give them a right to go back in, sell the ground off and turn it to a different use that's still viable tax base wise, keeps the ground active. Perhaps buy the water right out, allow them to sell the ground for development purposes that uses less water. Sell it into ranchettes that are dry use. Let them build a house on it. It still utilizes the property. You need to look at creative approaches. To make this plan work, it's really critical on the implementation board to look at it as a solution board rather than a protection board. They need, look internally, look into your own area. There are solutions that you can help solve the problem statewide. I'm not pointing fingers, but I think it's important that we really look at that implementation tool, and I think that everybody involved in this needs to commit and participate in the funding. I've been listening to the comments. We have a couple of groups that say we're not willing to participate in the funding until you can show us specifically what you're going to do before it happens. We don't know where it's going to happen. We don't know what we're going to be able to do, because you don't know what's available out there. You don't know what can be targeted. It's hard to implement a plan up front to say this is where the dollars are going. You got to be willing to take some risk, some chance in letting a group of your peers try to implement an effective plan. Government's bad. I look at a bunch of people that are in government here. You have to trust in somebody to implement. You have to trust in expertise. You have to have some confidence in what they'll do for you. Nobody's perfect, and there'll be mistakes made, but you have to at least give it a try. And I think that if you don't participate in the funding, you shouldn't have as much voice in the action on it. And I'm talking about your dollars, so. That's about, I don't know what's worth, but that's all I got to say. So.
Is there anyone else? So, want to reemphasize, in addition to coming up here and providing your comment, that you can send a written comment via mail. You can fill out a written comment form right now. Jennifer's got those in her hands. You can send an electronic form by email, and we're going to encourage you to do so by the 5th of January if you want those to be considered by the Water Resource Board in terms of the comments. So with that, what we're going to do, and I guess I'm looking around, any last chance for folks that want to weigh in here on what you've heard. But without that, we'll stick around. Hal and Brian will come and take a look at these hydrographs here and the effects on the river reach gains and the groundwater levels. And I want to thank you very much for coming out tonight, and have a safe trip home. Thank you.